The opportunity to welcome everybody, in fact, honorable members. There will be no portfolio meeting if honorable members are not here. So when you are here in your numbers, it shows the commitment to the oath of office that you did when you were ushered in as honorable members. We also have the department that is going to be presenting on quite an important subject, the property management trading entity. They are ready, they are in time. I'm quite happy that they are here, because without them as well, the portfolio cannot really function. We also have important people, very important people. They look, all of them, they look angelic. They are led by Charles, who is their lecturer. They are from the UCT. They are students. So they said they must observe how Parliament works through portfolio committees. Now they are today with the Portfolio Committee on Public Works. So students, you are welcome. We wish you well. We are told it's not easy at university. There are a lot of books, a lot of things to do, and the others are pushing you to go to entertainment areas. So sometimes you lose focus if you're not careful. So we are happy you are here. Thank you very much. We wish you well. That's wish you well. We will give opportunity to the members of Parliament who are portfolio members to introduce themselves after we have dealt with apologies, so that you know who are the members that are here. And we'll also give the department officials that are representing both the department and the entity, one of the entities, we have a number of entities in the Department of Public Works that are making the work of the department possible. So we are today focusing on an important entity that you'll be hearing what they are busy doing. Maybe a few things about the Portfolio Committee of Parliament. The main task of the Portfolio of Parliament is to do an oversight of a department. Our portfolio is doing an oversight on the Department of Public Works. So an oversight means we ask them questions on regular basis on various aspects, on various performance of their work. End of the year, they gave us what we call APP, the Annual Performance Plan, committing themselves what they are going to be doing on behalf of the people of South Africa in terms of the Constitution of the Republic, Act 108 of 1996, which binds all of us to work towards bettering the lives of our people. The key word, Parliament and the department, we are putting the interest of the people of South Africa, in particular the poor, not the rich, because they are already rich. Others were made rich by apartheid. Now we must think for those that were excluded by apartheid. Remember, you know there was something called apartheid. Others don't even want us to mention the word. Eh? They feel irritated when you mention the word, but it's a reality. If you are a man of God, mention it, because it was once there, and the legacy of it is still existing. That's why you see informal settlement. They are not human making. They were made by law of apartheid. So we are addressing those who are reversing the imbalances, injustices of the past. All government departments must work towards doing that. If they are not doing it, they are not true to God. They are not true to the constitution. So that's what the department must do. That's what we as the portfolio committee must ensure, that the department are not forgetting those people. They are not enjoying the comfort of their offices in Pretoria and forget the poor, the marginalized. So at least you are clear what we are doing oversight on. They must do their work as a commitment. One important thing we do also, we pass budget, the budget that is allocated to all departments. Portfolio committee are also members of parliament that pass budget that is allocated to all government departments, municipalities, and everybody else. So then when we do oversight, we also on regular basis check how much budget is now utilized, because this budget is given to a department to give services to the communities. We then check how much budget is utilized and whether is it used for the purpose it was planned for, whether there is value for money, because sometimes department would say we are 94% in the budget, but when you look at the work on the ground, the work on the ground is 50%. But in terms of the expenditure, they are 94%. That the members of parliament must also do what we call the oversight visits to provinces, to municipalities. We cannot do oversight in all the projects, but we do those random visits as one way of engaging some of the projects they would have reported to us they are doing. So check how far have they moved, whether there's value for money. That's the key word, value for money. We do that as part of our work. One other important work that the portfolio committee members and members of parliament are doing is law making. The laws of South Africa are made by these members that are sitting here. So otherwise in South Africa, when we say there's law, we say what is considered by these honorable members. So the law starts as a bill which even the communities is allowed to give input. So that is a little bit about the work of the portfolio. So I thought with that brief background, now you will be a bit clearer. We also have some pamphlets that we give in parliament that explain those things. So I hope if you find time in parliament, we give those brochures so they give you more important, so you know the work of the parliament. I've given you summary, the work of parliament in detail, so the work of the government, the department, so you know, and then the work of parliament as a whole. So I've given a bit of summary. I think Charles, if you want more, then you'll tell me. We will then move to the apologies. I'll indicate that the committee secretary phoned me to say she's delayed. I thought it's only politicians that are delayed, but this morning I learned that even secretaries get delayed. So it's something that I hope it won't happen all the time, because if it becomes a norm, I don't like it. But this parliament is always ready. When somebody is delayed, there's an acting secretary. My lady is here to warm the seat. So now I'm not to check you out. So she must settle. She must settle. She must settle. So now we are getting to the apologies. I'm not sure if I think the lady quickly ran away because she must settle and deal with apologies. Are you ready to deal with the apologies? Okay. Maybe let me look at honorable member, Dr. See, we have doctors as well. Other members are quite learned. They frequent universities. Dr. Madaba?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Greetings to the colleagues and our visitors and students. We are here to acknowledge our
okay.
I have already greeted our visitors. Thanks, Honorable Chair. Greetings to the colleagues and our visitors. We hope that they will enjoy, you know, to observe what is happening in the committees of Parliament. Chair, I want to apologize because I'm going to the other committee. When we finish early, I will be back to this committee.
Thank you very much. We understand. So you're putting your own apology.
Yes.
Thank you very much. We are happy you are here. Did you sign, just sign that you are here? Thank you very much, Honourable Members. Dr. P? Dr. Honourable P?
Thanks, Honourable Chairperson. I have to leave at 5 to 1. I've got to attend a meeting at 1 o'clock. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any apologies from Honourable Members? Kata.
Before they finish this year, I want to ask them to be.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, and to all our visitors. Chairperson, I received a phone now from transport. They are not cruising, so now they want me to come to
cruise. Yeah.
I will be back.
The honourable member's name is Ketamabala Sithole. So he's one of the very participative honourable members. So we'll miss him when he's in the transport. Thank you very much. The other hand from Honourable Masiera.
This time for our water, man.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, officials and our visitors. Chair, I will be attending the tourism, myself and Honorable Patricia Adams. We are going to be attending tourism at 12 o'clock. So we'll be here until 5 o'clock. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That would mean we would have to rush, I think, by 12. We should be finished with the assistance of the presenters. Are you settled, the secretary, in terms of the apologies? Now we have, you have seen the acting secretary because the secretary was delayed, which is something I said we don't accept. But the parliament always arranged that. Now you have seen the secretary no longer acting now. The real secretary now. So can you give us the apologies?
Thank you, Chair, and good morning, everyone. I would like to again apologize for being delayed. There was a big accident on Durban Road. There are three apologies that were recorded in our office. One from Honorable Mathis, who was not able to attend this meeting today, as well as the DM and the Minister as well. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. I take it that we don't accept the apologies. Well then, yes, Mpo? Can we try and assist?
We'll go off.
Yeah.
Are they off?
Here we go.
Okay. Negotiate with it, just turn again. Yeah.
Negotiate. Chair. I just wanted to convey the apology of the DG. He did send through a letter that I will give to the secretary.
Thank you very much. I can confirm the letter from the DG. I've been given. I thought you mentioned it. Oh, the DM. Oh, okay. I thought when she was saying DM is in teaching, because the letter. You see, when you changing secretaries, I've just given the letter to the acting. I think when she was getting this thing. Thank you very much. Honorable Freddie Adams is also joining us late. She's delayed elsewhere. So with no further ado, noting that we must rush the meeting, at least by 12 we should be finished, because other committee members will be rushing to other committees because they are working on more than one portfolio committee. We will then move to the minutes of the 20th of March. So can we all go there? This is the area where panel members are while the department is getting ready. We're looking at the first page. You don't have the copy of the minutes. Okay, share with other members while my staff should be helping. I know they always say they send all members via our technology. Can we move Honorable Beldane while they are getting you a copy? Can we share with others? Honorable Fidan, you want to protest or you want to allow us to move?
I would kindly oblige the chair, except for the fact that I was not present on that day.
Whether we give you a copy or not, you are not going to approve it. Okay, so can we move out of page 1 to page 2? Page 3, Honorable Marcella. You'll be followed by Honorable Pizzano, who was not in the meeting, but is at least present now.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Bullet number 2, irregularities identified, it should be true, not so. And also on bullet number 3, the same, that though it's supposed to be through interrogation.
Honorable Beldane.
Thank you very much, Chair. Page 3, and item number 2, focusing on 2.6. It's a grammar issue, Chair. It says illegal occupied properties. I think it should be illegally occupied properties.
Thank you very much. That is noted. You were already on page 3. Can we check page 3? Move to page 4. Honorable Masiela.
Thank you, Honorable. The fifth paragraph on page 4. The first sentence there, it needs to be reworked. It is not
it.
The committee felt strongly about the fact that the DPW property had to take ownership. I think it needs to be reworked.
Thank you very much. That is noted. Honorable Pick.
the first line on the page, applauded should be changed because we did not applaud anybody. We commended the DPW.
Thank you, thank you very much. That is noted. We go into the last page, page 5. I assume we it's probably written, but in case as we are correcting the others, we note something. I request the staff help each other on the minutes. It's not always a good thing that honorable members must teach you how to write sentences. Help each other as staff. Honorable Elton.
Is on page 5, first line. Again, a grammar matter. It was observed that the issue of a lack of capacity should be lack of capacity. Remove the article A.
Okay, thank you very much. Like I said, staff members, please work together. On when you work minutes, even on the grammar, I accept that it is not our language. It's a colonial language. So, but because we are learned as well, let's ensure. Thank you very much. Can I call for the mover of the minutes with corrections? Honorable Masiela.
Honorable Chair, I would like to move for the adoption of this minute with corrections. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Call for seconda. Honorable Patricia Adams.
Chair, I second the move.
Okay, on the record.
Chair, I second the move.
Thank you very much. We are now putting the minutes aside. Thank you very much, honorable members. We will then move to introduction before we hand over to the department. The honorable members will introduce themselves, and when we hand over to the department, they will also do the same, introduce themselves, and then present and do the presentation for the day. So you would have also noticed that we are pressured in terms of other committee members who must go to other meetings, so we'll expect that the presentation must just touch on key areas. Can we start the introduction from the chair? My name is Humphrey Memezi. I'm the chair of this portfolio committee. Thank you very much.
My name is Didi Matebe, a member of the
committee. Thank you very much. My name is Manoku Pasihela, a member of this committee from Limpopo province. Thank you.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Patricia Adams, and I'm from the Northern Cape.
My name is Mledi Sosolcha. I'm from the Eastern Cape. Thanks. I'm a member of the committee.
Good morning, Chair, colleagues, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Dennis Ryder. I'm a member of this committee. I'd like to say a particular welcome to the guys from UCT and say thank you for attending and thank you for showing interest. I'm going to use the opportunity to also suggest that you pay some attention to this fellow walking around here, because if you really want to know about the workings of Parliament, there's a website called PMG, Parliamentary Monitoring Group. That's the gentleman from PMG. Guys, it's an awesome resource for you to access. PMG.org.za gives you a lot of info and will be a lot less boring than sitting through 27 minutes so far of not really achieving too much. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Well, on a positive aspect, you know, Mr. Reader is a member of the opposition. Sometimes you want to oppose,
even when there's no need. You would know you have achieved a lot. You see, we have seen how minutes are dealt with. We have seen how introduction is done. So we have seen a lot. So you've achieved a lot. So, but you take note of what you say. So because anyway, even when you're out of here, you can always use the internet. Even when in the portfolio committee we don't have opposition, we work as a team. You see, but you know, once an opposition, sometimes it just makes yourself an opposition. Thank you very much. We will request the department to introduce themselves. Thereafter, I'll introduce the staff.
Thanks, Chair and honourable members and the visitors. My name is Cox Mukhoro. I'm the former CFO of the Department of Public Works. I have a new responsibility, which responsibility is to look at the entire operationalization of the entity, as well as considering issues around financial sustainability of this entity.
Good morning, Chair and members. My name is Jacob Maroa. I am the head of the Property Management Trading Entity, PMTE. Thank you.
Good morning, Chair, honourable members. I'm Sasha Steuben. I head the Real Estate Investment Services Branch.
Good morning, members of the committee. My name is MTR Spazel. I'm the DDG for Governance and the Department. Thank you.
Good morning, honourable Chair, honourable members and visitors. My name is Heinz Borst, and I'm in the Operationalization Financial Sustainability Program.
Good morning, members and guests. My name is Mpho Mashaba. I'm the Parliamentary Liaison Officer in the department.
Thank you very much. Besides the department, we also, as Parliament, have the staff that make us look good. You have already heard about the one staff member, the secretary, but she will now have opportunity to introduce herself.
Thank you, Chair. Their name is Nola Jobotwana, Committee Secretary, Peace on Public Works.
We also have
Good morning, my name is Inez Stephanie. I'm the researcher for the Portfolio Committee on Public Works.
Thank you very much. You have an opportunity.
My name is Shoaib Denathan. Good morning, everyone. Content advisor to the committee.
Thank you very much. You have heard about Mr. Bibi there.
My name is Manja. I monitor of
Okay, and the gentleman who's also helping us, introduce yourself.
Good morning, my name is Bill Patera.
Thank you very much. So we are protected here. Thank you very much. We'll then hand over to the department to do the presentation on the key areas of this entity, which is quite an important entity for the department. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Chair. The way we're going to handle the presentation, there will be two of us doing the presentation. I'll do the context, and Mr. Mukhoro will go into the financial sustainability. But before we do the presentation, I think in the interest of time as well, I just want to make a few opening remarks, primarily to just highlight what we're going to tell you and what are the key issues that we're going to tell you. But before I do that, I just also want to just put public works in context. I think it's assumed that we all know what public works is, but I think it's always important just to remind ourselves what we're dealing with. Public works is essentially the landlord of the state. That's the primary function. but he's also a regulator and a policy maker for the built environment for the country. And the third, I think, related function of the of public works is to also discharge a concurrent mandate with provinces on public works matters. So essentially, public works impacts on service delivery as far as the provision of facilities of the state is concerned. So if you go to a police station and you interface with the facility of the police station, you're interfacing with public works. If you go for your passport or your license or your ID, you interface with public works. You go to a hospital in the province, you interface with public works from a concurrent mandate in terms of the provinces. So that is the context of public works, and that's where we come in terms of service delivery for the country. Now, since 1997, there has been a conception of how do we properly conceptualize, capacitate the function of public works. There was a white paper in 1997. Out of that paper emerged a conception of an establishment of a state property entity, a state property agency. It assumed many names, also a state property company. Basically, the idea is separate the policy making and the regulatory making of the department from the operations of the department. Create a vehicle that is well capacitated from a technical perspective, a financial perspective, and a skill perspective to carry out the mandate of public works, but also to leverage this huge portfolio for other issues, including the funding, including empowerment, and other socio-economic issues. Out of that evolution emerged what we now call a trading entity, from an agency, a company, to a trading entity. And this is through the conversation between ourselves, National Treasury, and the Department of Public Service and Administration. So it is this entity that we wanted to give you the progress, because it was formally approved in 2006, then over a period until 2012, that's when we formally begin the process of launching the property entity. So Rich, I just want to go to my... So, Chair, from the entity perspective, there are a number of things that we're going to share with you. The first one is the regulatory compliance in relation to the starting of the entity. And that regulatory compliance has to do with what National Treasury requires for the entity to be operationalized. It has to do with how you deal with your accounts, how you separate the account from the main department, how you become self-sustainable. We will talk to that. But related to that is also the substantive form of the entity. What kind of entity do we want to build? How is it going to relate to the Department of Public Works? And how is it going to find itself financially sustainable over the long term? And towards the end of the presentation, you'll hear much about the term financial sustainability. You'll hear much about user charges, you'll hear a lot about tariffs. Because core to the establishment of an entity that can run the portfolio of state is the issue of the correct level of funding to execute that. And I think you'll hear a lot, and if you're confused, we will come back and summarize. But in the end is, what do we require in terms of funding to make sure that when we launch this entity in the long term, it is fully sustainable to be able to discharge its mandate. So in short, those are the messages that we want to leave with you. And we won't go through the words of every what's in the presentation because of time, but just want to make sure that you have that key messages in mind. I think the board is too far. I can't see, but you have in your position the paper, the hard copy. So I'll just go through slide by slide, and I'll indicate which slide I'm talking to. The slide number two, we just need give the context of what we're going to be talking about. We're talking about the operation of the PMT and the broader strategic issues to be considered, which emerged during the rollout of the turnaround. So here we're making the point, as much as we had intentions in the immediate rollout of the turnaround, things are emerging that we need to become mindful of. When we meet, when we come closer to the issues, we are seeing issues that are emerging that requires our own consideration, and we'll talk about that. I've given you the history in terms of where we come from the white paper to the approval for a state property agency, which we now call an entity, which has been an agreement between ourselves and National Treasury and DPSA. And in the approval of the entity, the National Treasury made certain conditions, which we'll talk about in terms of the evolution of the property trading entity. The fifth slide talks to the dramatic representation of this turnaround. In 2012, Public Works conceptualized a 7-year turnaround from 2012 to 2019. We are in 2017-18. We are in what is called the enhancement phase of the turnaround. And core to this enhancement phase is the launching of the PMTE. Other things which are in the enhancement work are things like the development of the accurate asset register, and I am sure some of the members are aware that we've been here to present that asset register. It has been a core pillar of the turnaround to determine how many properties we have, where they are, in what state they are. And that has been a lot of work that's been done by the department. The implementation of the asset investment management strategy, implementation of facilities management and maintenance strategy, improvement of lease management. We have a huge leasing portfolio, and there's been challenges in managing that portfolio, so enhancement of that has been key to the efficiency enhancement. Improvement of construction and project delivery, addressing adverse audit outcomes. This department has been on the negative side of the Auditor General, so we have to work to do towards a clean audit, improve corporate governance, address capacity constraints, technical capacity, property professionals, and project management. There we also showed the ratio of project managers to projects, our current ratio compared to what the industry norm is, that there's still a huge way to go to make sure that we've got enough project managers for the portfolio of projects that we have. On slide 6, we talk about the actual operation of the of PMTE. We distinguish between two distinct issues in terms of the operation. There are regulatory compliance, where National Treasury is the authority that says for you to be deemed to be a trading entity, this is the criteria. We had conditions that we need to comply to, and we will give you feedback on that. But we also want to talk about what we call a substantive form of the entity. Those are the issues about vision. Where is this entity going? What does it want to deliver? Stakeholder expectation. Things like service delivery from the public, client departments, portfolio committee yourselves, for expectations around public works and the entity, cabinet, employees, and these are just the core stakeholders. There may be more. And those cannot necessarily be captured in a regulatory compliance. It can be captured in many other forms, and we need to be mindful that that is also an important consideration. Institutional relationship with the department, performance compact, each entity of the state, you know, state-owned enterprises, their relationship with their shareholder ministries is governed by shareholder compacts. Now, how do we as this entity begin to regularize, professionalize, and make visible our role as an entity vis-a-vis the department? And how do we make sure we make that more transparent reporting and governance? And of course, the business form of the entity, the model and the skills required. So we begin to say, as we move from purely regulatory compliance in launching this entity, we need to be mindful of the substantive issues as you form an entity, and you need to conceptualize it. I mean, for instance, you've got SARS as an entity of National Treasury, but it has its unique identity and its unique relationship with the Department of National Treasury. And PMTE has to move in that direction, where it has a unique identity in relation to the Department of Public Works. And we need to conceptualize how that is going to evolve and what are the methodologies to do that. Now, just giving you on slide, I think slide 7, just giving you a summarized version of how far we have come in meeting the National Treasury conditions. On the left is what the condition was and what we achieved. I'm not going to read each letter, but I just want to give you the flavor of what are the issues there. Number one is that the trading entity must operate a set of accounts separate from the department with its own paymaster general's bank account. That is, you know, substantially achieved. Financial control measures, number two, must be in place. That is, the entity must have its own financial control measures. That is, by and large, also achieved. The accounting officer of the department must formulate a policy and reporting framework for the trading account, including quarterly reporting, monthly management system to track both commitments and cash. That is also largely achieved in the right column. Number four on slide 8, all people and institutional arrangements must be put in place. The PME functions has been identified, the organizational structure of the PMTE has been approved and concurred to by National Treasury and DPSA. We've got a separate personal system for PMTE. Staff has been migrated to the new structure. Critical vacant position identified and mostly filled. And of course, like any organization, you will have an ongoing feeling of critical post. But the point here is, in terms of organizations, if you go to Public Works now, you can distinctly see what is Public Works, what is PMTE, in terms of organizational structure and the systems that support that. That's the point we want to make. Number five, delegations must be operational, specifying the responsibility for each of the departmental key account managers. That is by and large achieved. Number six, during the first year of operation of the trading entity, Public Works must seek approval from National Treasury to establish a fully fledged trading entity. So what we're saying is the trading entity has been conceptualized. They were conditioned before we can actually launch the trading entity as a fully fledged entity. And that will require going to National Treasury and writing to them and says, this is the conditions that you set. This is how we've achieved. We now need approval that we can operate as a fully fledged trading entity. And the minister talked about the launching of this trading entity. So this is what we are now readying ourselves to do, because now we will have had the full sign-off by National Treasury that from their regulatory perspective, we are now compliant. So we also did a status quo evaluation of the authorization. We asked GTEC to do this for us. And out of that came recommendations, which we also have processed and effected. But those recommendations has to do with the PFT financial sustainability model must be finalized, covering both revenue and expenditure. And towards the last part of the presentation, you'll hear more about the issues that emanate from there. The issues of audit findings and a clean audit, a project that prioritizes a migration to an unqualified audit. There are challenges there that we must admit, but we've got a plan to get to go there. Accommodation charges prioritize negotiation with National Treasury around current accommodation charges paid by user department. And we'll talk more about this, and I've talked about the issues of tariffs and financial sustainability, that the current level of funding for the state property is not adequate in comparison of what it should be. And that has been acknowledged, but the issue is, how do we make it transparent, and how do we begin to think through how that gap is going to be funded? So currently, you could say department and PMT have a funded mandate in relation to state property. And the emerging issue is now, how do we have the conversation of that, how that gap is going to be funded? Overdraft, as a trading entity, you shouldn't operate in overdraft. We have an overdraft, and how do we close that? Systems, how do we roll out systems to manage this whole enterprise? And capacity, how do we begin to attract, retain, and develop capacitated individuals within PFT to run this organization? So, by and large, we believe that these recommendations, we have made headway in achieving this recommendation. Then we come to what we call National Treasury expectations. Our interaction with National Treasury have revealed some expectations that they have of the trading entity, the PMTE. They revolve around the issue of full cost recovery. Their Regulation 19 says even to be an entity, a trading entity, you must demonstrate that you have a full, you are able to recover the full cost of your operations. And that's the conversation that we're having with National Treasury, because it has a far-reaching implications in terms of how the funding sustainability of this entity emerges, and we'll talk about that. User charge is beginning to say, where else in the past we charged departments on a budget recovery basis. What does that mean? We said, Mr. Client, you've got this budget, so we'll make sure we charge you in relation to the budget you have, so that we are all, balanced out. However, to be able to have a financially sustainable entity, you need to say, how do we evaluate the true cost of delivering the service, and then deliver that invoice based on the true cost? Now, because the state is eventually the underwriter of accommodation charges, that cost will find itself in the fiscus. And we know the fiscus has said we are constrained. So how do we then work together to begin to say, how do we deal with this gap? So the issue about accommodation charges is actually transparently calculate what is the true cost of running the service or providing accommodation to the state. Then there's a management fee that the PMT must have for municipal services. That is, we're dealing with that. Revenue retention, also as we talk about the funding strategy, how can we begin to leverage properties that are access to our needs, either through renting to the private sector or selling off, and how do we then retain that revenue once we've done that? So those are the kind of conversations that we're having. And of course, system to accurately bill for accommodation must be introduced. Here, there is also a statutory requirement that the PMTE should start providing what is called an itemized bill to clients. An itemized bill meaning the client should know the details of the accommodation charge. Per per service category, per facility, so that the cost to the client is also transparent. But for us to do that, we need to have system to unpack our costs so that we can do that. And there has been a condition that we needed to achieve that by, I think, just 20 itemized billing. 2023, now we have now moved it.
Yeah.
But there is a condition that as we move forward, we need to do itemized billing. The issue of the overdraft, how do we make sure we can eliminate overdraft, is a big issue. The financial sustainability, making sure that the PMT lives off its own balance sheet. So those are the expectation of of National Treasury from PMT. Now, in the past few years, maybe the past 2 years, in fact, as we see the fiscus becoming much more constrained, there is even much more pressured attention to this issue, to say, expect very little in terms of increase from the fiscus, and if anything, you are likely to get a reduction. How do you then demonstrate that you can utilize this property portfolio to begin to not only live off your means, but to begin to think of how you help the fiscus? To an extent where the National Treasury came to say, can you identify properties, in fact, when they were wanting to fund the FISMA's fall issues, they should say, can you identify properties that can contribute to the fiscus in terms of we can sell and get the proceeds to the National Treasury? So we are in a different fiscus space, and we will continuously get pressure from National Treasury to contribute. Now, on slide 11, we just need to show graphically what we are dealing with. We have a bar chart there, and I'm just going to explain what they mean, what we're trying to illustrate. So we're trying to illustrate what is the current base that's in the National Treasury in terms of budgeting for accommodation charges. And we also want to demonstrate on the far right what should be the full cost of running this budget, this accommodation, this property portfolio. So I think just from the beginning, I just want to demonstrate that on the far left we've got the base, on the far right we've got what is expected. Already you could see a big gap in terms of what you call an unfunded mandate. Before I even go into the details, just to give you the two extremes. On the left is where we are, on the right is where we should be. Okay? Now, where we should be, when we talk about where we should be, we're only talking where we should be from an ongoing annual perspective. We have not put in the backlog in terms of before you could talk about going forward, you need to look at the backlog. But here we're just talking about operational cost of a capital in a current nature. So I'm going to just unpack the three bars on the left. The green part relates to the leasing portfolio. We spend 4.3 billion on leases, and leases are essentially a pass-through cost. We lease from landlords, and that cost is passed directly through to our clients, and they pay. Okay, that's about 4.3 billion. The orange part is what is allocated. What we get through accommodation charges. So whatever we provide accommodation to the client, we recover that money through what is called accommodation charges. The middle part is what is called augmentation. So because our cost cannot be covered currently by the accommodation charges that we get from the client, we then get a direct allocation to public works, which is called augmentation. So at the moment, it's at the order of about 3.8 billion. So the next bar says you need to, so the base of public works in terms of PMTE for accommodation cost is then the augmentation plus accommodation charges. So that's the 8.3. And then you have the 4.3, which is the leasing. So currently, that 12.6 is sitting in the base of National Treasury. Okay? So we go to the third bar where we say, if we go to full cost recovery, we have to add at 4.8 billion. We are 4.8 below what we should be just on operation costs alone. But if we now also include the provision for future capital replacement, we add a 7 billion. And that number now goes from 12.6 to 24.4 billion, which is 50%, or in fact, what is here. So put it another way, we are 50% unfunded in relation to what the true cost is. And as I've indicated, we have not added there the backlog, which is our estimation back of the cigarette calculator, is a 74 billion backlog when we look backwards. So what we begin to just indicate that we have, and as we begin to talk about a entity which is fully financial sustaining, we need to be able to unpack what the true costs are so that we can have a proper conversation going forward about what should happen. And I think this just represents what we believe is the current situation. Now on slide 12, we just make some remarks around this problem of public infrastructure. It is not unique to public works. It is not also unique to South Africa. I think public infrastructure financing and managing is a worldwide issue. And in our case, these are the general issues that we just want to raise. Number one is that we have an adequate funding due to low tariffs. Normally, public infrastructure, there is never a cost-reflective tariff that is charged to the end consumer. There's some subsidization, some cross-subsidization, and normally you see that what the end consumer end up paying is not the true cost. So that's the first issue. Therefore, tariffs do not adequately make provision for capital. Right? You look at only operation cost, but do not make provision for capital renewal, capital refurbishment, and also capital replacement. And that is not normally fully quantified and included in the tariff. Tariffs not adequately make a provision for proper maintenance. A lack of proper control for adequate infrastructure investment. That's the issue. Lack of proper asset information to adequately manage portfolios. And in our case, we had to go through a very expensive, intensive process to do an asset register. And now we have done the macro asset register. Now what we're now discovering that we need to go micro in the asset register. What does that mean? And I'm just going to use an example with this building. In this building, you can talk about the size of the building, the age of the building, and the offices it has, the number of lifts. That's the macro. The micro, you start going to the detail of the components. It's not only how many lifts, but it's who's the manufacturer, how old is the lift, what is the maintenance record of that lift. Now, when you do that on an asset register, you multiply what you need to do in terms of just having the asset register. Because when you maintain and when you replace, you are not replacing the macro. You have to replace the lift, but you need to have a business case for that lift. How many operations, how many years, and for us, we need to go there. So when you talk about asset information, we need to go to that level. And in the context of South Africa, we've got an additional issue in terms of public infrastructure. The public infrastructure was built for a small percentage of the population. And when we now have to expand that public infrastructure, firstly, it's overused because more people are using what was built for a small population, but we need to have an accelerated expansion in terms of that infrastructure. That also adds cost and it adds the capacity to manage. And we point to a South African Institute of Civil Engineers report. They produce this report that assesses the public infrastructure in terms of maintenance, funding,
and it gives a grade. We have been given a grade of public infrastructure of D, which means we are at risk of failing. It's just a reflection of the issue of public infrastructure, funding, capacitation, and professionalize. So, as I conclude this section, I just want to say the PMTE acknowledges that we have an urgent pull, or an urgent pull is required to mitigate some of the challenges that we've talked through. We are reviewing and the need to review and improvement of efficiencies. But more importantly, what we're going to need is a well-defined funding strategy. Now, that funding strategy is going to have several elements, but the key element is going to be, obviously, the fiscus has to be a key pillar of that funding strategy, which is currently is. And as we've indicated, that what's allocated in the fiscus is far less than what is required. So that's the conversation we're going to have with the fiscus. We also have to generate our own revenue through initiatives that we're already beginning to undertake. How do we leverage this portfolio to see how much money we can actually generate? But we'll indicate the scope of that, because it's not an unlimited scope. We also have to demonstrate cost-saving measures. We acknowledge that in many areas there are wastages, which are quite obvious, and we need to focus and make sure that we are a cost-saving entity. But also we need to make the point that there is funding in the private sector that can be leveraged for the public sector. And we need to start having a framework and a conversation with the private sector how we can leverage that funding to invest in the public sector. So those are the four pillars that we see as the core elements of an emerging funding strategy for the entity. So emerging from the process of meeting the National Treasury 206 condition and continue compliance with the National Regulator and National Treasury Regulation 19 for trading entities, significant such matters need to be considered to define the next phase for the PMT. So what Mr. Cosmo Horo will do is to go in more detail in terms of the key things that we're doing in terms of looking at the financial sustainability of this entity. I'll stop there and then I'll allow my colleague to go through this section. And if you don't mind, Chair, we can then take questions at the end. Thank you.
Just before that, if we can mind our time, because I want members of the portfolio to have enough time to ask you questions, and thereafter you'll also be given another time to answer. So you will be speaking and speaking and speaking. So now, in presenting what we already have, be mindful of the time you're taking, because we already have, because I want them to ask questions. Remember, our work and your work is not to re-engineer yourself every day and you think that is your work. Your work is to assist the communities, not change each other, and you think that is your work. No, you are for the people. Mr. Mokoro.
Thank you, Chairperson and honorable members. I shall try and gallop through the remainder of the presentation. As you can see, it's a fairly detailed presentation, and it's a product of the fact that we are getting wiser, having gone through a process of turnaround. We have more information, we've harvested the information around our asset register, and now we are doing what you can call a pavement bashing walk to try and see what we can do with this. So that's really what we are saying. And it's a question of getting wiser. So our standards are just going a little bit higher. And maybe just to start by providing the context of this portfolio itself. We know, as from your asset register engagement with the department last week, that we've got about approximately 31,000 land parcels, which approximates about 5.4 million hectares of land. And if you just want to understand the context of this, what does 5.4 million hectares of land mean? It means 4.5% of the total geographic land area of South Africa. it's under the custodianship of Public Works. Now, in terms of these land parcels that we're talking to, we have, sorry, can I pause? In terms of these land parcels that we're talking to, what's on these land parcels? We've got about 93,000 structures, buildings, improvements on these land parcels. And when you look at the square meterage floor space of this, we're talking about 36.8 million square meters of floor, you know, of office, of buildings. And these buildings are, you've got 54% of which are specialized structures, which are your army barracks, your police stations, your whatever, all these kind of things that you can't do much about. They are for service delivery. And then 39% is residential. And part of the residential is associated with the actual specialized service that you're giving, like your police barracks and all those kind of things. And then 7% is your offices. So offices, buildings that are meant for offices, of 93,000 structures, there's about 6,500 buildings that are around offices. And what is the cost of this portfolio? I mean, this 31,000 land parcels with 93,000 structures on it, we're talking about 148 billion rands worth of highly conservative numbers. When we did the valuation or the costing of these assets, we applied the municipal valuations and did a whole number of computations to arrive at this number. It's 148. If you were to say what's the transactional cost, if we are transacting with this thing, you probably will have to multiply this by a factor of 10 or so. So it's a fairly massive number. And from this portfolio, now that we are the custodians of this portfolio as the trading entity and the department, what is it that we are collecting in terms of revenue? We collect about 4.5 billion rands per annum from this massive portfolio. Now, juxtapose that against our private lease portfolio, where we acquire properties from the private sector where we do not have the properties to run and provide service to government, to the public. And we're having plus minus about 2,600 leases, of which when you count the actual floor space, there's about 6.2 million square meters of floor space. Remember I spoke about 92,000 structures that we are custodians, that we are owning, and that's 36.8 million square meters of floor space. Here we are talking about 2,600 leases, which is about 6.2 million square of floor space. And from this list, what it is that is costing the state? It's costing the state 4.3 billion rand. So you have this massive portfolio that we own, we are getting 4.5. We are collecting, or we are having this from the private sector, and we are paying 4.3. So you can do the sums that things do not properly add up. And then when you look at the construction pipeline over the MTF period, we're looking plus minus about 20 billion rands that we actually have on the department to do infrastructure development and construction work and all that. So this indicates some level of power that we actually possess, which we are not leveraging at all. And then and when you look at all of this in context, you consider that, you know, the effective optimization of this portfolio holds extensive benefits and opportunities for government in the broader developmental agenda and socioeconomic transformation within the context of the current macroeconomic climate, which is characterized by, you know, there's no money, the expenditure efficiency, the cost savings, the revenue generation initiatives that we can actually have. And then we should now start to recognize this entity on the back of this portfolio as an important social economic lever to exert visible impact in driving capital formation, investment growth, and social development for the state. Now, taking a step back in terms of the historical portfolio performance and the upkeep of this portfolio that we spoke about, this massive portfolio, on slide 17, you will recall that in line with the PFMA immovable asset reforms that took place, departmental budgets residing in the DPW vote were devolved to all user departments. So before 2006, you can imagine what the size of the public works budget vote was. So all these monies that are related to the accommodation of other government departments were all sitting with public works. The decision was taken on 2006 to take all these costs and push them back to the departments who are actually enjoy the benefits of this this. And then against that, there was a development of a framework for us to do accommodation charges to get this money back into. So our job was to manage the portfolio, but manage that portfolio by getting the money back from the departments, and that's the 4.5 billion rands that we spoke about earlier on. And then that we're going to do through itemized billing, and because since 2006, that really never took place because of all the issues that we spoke about, of challenges that the department had, and critical of which was the fact that we did not have a credible, complete asset, removal asset register, which is something that we've just done in the years, a year or a half ago. Why was this budget devolved to the departments? The aim was to ensure that you actually have visibility of a true cost of running a department. So Department X was just having its own budget to do its own work, but they are not indicating what it is to accommodate themselves, to be able to do the work that they're doing. So they had to pass that thing back to them. And then the charges that we are levying to those departments were intended to pay for the property rates, which is a cost of the owner. As you know, with our houses, you've got to pay your rates. The maintenance and rehabilitation, and the major refurbishments or replacement of existing state-owned properties that were there. And then we calculated, we did a calculation, 2006 then, we did a calculation to determine what was the actual true cost of running this portfolio. And the calculations were done based on, in terms of the entire portfolio, the portfolio was disaggregated into 14 facilities types. And each type had a particular rate that was to be applied. And just as an example, the rate that was applied, that was actually arrived at to do the true cost of running this work, for office accommodation, for instance, the rate was 26 rands per square meter that was supposed to have been charged. But because of the points that Mr. Marocha made earlier on, that because the state did not have that amount of money, it was said, charge a rate that will allow and ensure that the department's budgets are not exceeded. So when you take it, 26 rands per square meter, if you do the calculation in terms of the total square meters floor that the departments were occupying, that was going to be a lot of money. And what was sitting in the budgets of the departments in terms of a square meter floor for office space was an amount of 4.74. So you can already see the disjuncture. You can only charge 4.74 to do the work. However, you need 26 cents. And I think the next slide gives us an indication of the challenges that we had. Part of the discussions that took place was that charge the 4.74 and not the 26 rand. However, the 4.74 that you are charging, we will allow you to raise and increase this 4.74 at a factor of 15% per annum over a 10-year period. And if you work it out, 4.74 at 15% per annum over a 10-year period, you actually end up at 26 rand per square meter. However, what things were not considered was that 26 rands on the first day itself would grow over time. So it was actually a non-starter from an argument perspective. So if you look at the graph at the bottom, what the yellow line shows, the 4.74 as at the beginning of the period, right at the beginning, at the end, and in actual fact, the growth on that 4.74 action just grew by between 5 to 10%, and that's where it was. And today, we are sitting that 4.74 having grown to about 14 rands, 20 or so per square meter. If we had grown that 4.74 at 15% over time, we would have had that red line. We don't have that red line, we have the yellow line. But on the other hand, the actual charge should have been 26 rands in 2006. We ended up at 4 rands. So if you had grown 26 rands and that's your CPI and whatever, that's where you'll be sitting. You'll be sitting at an actual square meter rate of about 76 rand. So if you look at the gap, which is the funding gap that you are talking about, which is indicative of the challenge that you are sitting with, of a partially funded mandate, that we've got a gap there, which is just on the basis of the operational costs. And then the spread between the blue line and the yellow line, that's the massive gap that you're sitting with if you factor in the issues of capital growth and all that. So this in itself is the conceptual framework of a problem statement that you're sitting with the public works. What does this thing mean in terms of what are the implications of this? If you may go to the next slide. What are the implications of this funding gap or partially funded mandate on the condition of the portfolio? The fact is that the upkeep of the entire portfolio is not adequately funded in the user department's baseline, so we can't charge those monies to maintain the portfolio. And this resulted in significant repair and refurbishments backlog. So we are sitting with a, in terms of that report, which says we are sitting at a rating of D, which is at a risk of collapse. Yeah, that's what we are talking about. That's the result of the C. And the financial impact, if we're going to go back and say, now let's run a proper maintenance program on our portfolio, you'd need to spend a lot of money to get the portfolio to be at a particular level that is acceptable for you to then have a maintenance program. Now, that amount of money is massive. We've done a quick calculation, and the number is quite astronomical, and you heard Mr. Maroha speak about somewhere in the order of about 24 billion, which, as we are sitting today, if we are going to say how much money do you need to spend to get the portfolio to a condition that is acceptable, we'd say you need to up that portfolio to about 24. And where does that money come from? Where does that calculation come from? We ran a pilot on slide 20. We ran a pilot of 13 properties. And in those 13 properties which we identified, very key properties, we did a detailed technical assessment in terms of condition assessment of those properties and worked out what needs to be done. And in actual fact, for 13 properties, the actual cost of that we needed to spend to get them to an acceptable level was about 0.65 billion rands, which is about 615 million rands on 13 properties. Now, honorable members, if you take this thing and you say, now you sit with 92,000 properties, and if you do just a simple mathematical calculation to extrapolate this to the entire population, that's about where the 24 billion rands come from. That's literally what we're trying to explain. It's a big number. Now we are sitting with a problem that this whole thing creates what we call an expectations gap. If you look at slide, the slide that follows there, which is slide 21, on the left we've got what we have as a PMT as the state. And on the right is what the market has and is what the people expect. So we have a complete disjunction. And if you can see, like I said, the 4.74 of 2006 has grown to 14.23 in 17-18. Whilst the market is sitting, and market, yes, okay, there's massive profit elements and all those kind of things in there, but it's sitting about 85 rands today. And we are expected to give what the market is giving, and now this is what we have. And that's the challenge that we're sitting with, and that's what we need to talk about when you talk about a partially funded mandate. And then if you go further and just indicate in the next slide, this whole funding thing from the Department for the trading entity, and you are saying, let's take a 10-year forecast. And a 10-year forecast taking the current revenues against the current expenditures that we have. The bottom, which is the green, the blue line, that gives us our current revenues. The red line gives us our current operational costs. And over a 10-year period, and it so happens to be kind of almost a coincidental number, is that you're looking over a 10-year period, a 74 cumulative deficit that you're sitting with, just if you are running this business. And you are taking this number from what we have here, what Mr. Maroha gave in the previous slide 11, where we currently have on the baseline 4.3, 3.5, and 4.8, which is about 12.6. And the purple and the yellow, which gives you an amount of 11.8 billion rands, is not there, which needs to be taken into account. So the 4.3 and the 3.5, which is the green and the gray and the orange. That's what gives us this blue line at the bottom, which is our revenue. So we are in a non-starter position. And then what in addition to all of this makes it even more difficult, if you go to the next slide. What makes it even more difficult is that over time, year on year, the reduction of the MTE budget allocation has been slashed. And to date, we are looking at an amount of about 4.5 billion rands over the 10-year period, gone from our baseline. And then, on the other hand, there's so much pressure that, you know, as a training entity, you have this massive portfolio. You're going to be doing some things that are very creative with respect to making sure that you introduce new money into the system outside of the fiscus to ensure that you are financially sustainable. So we don't longer see you as a in terms of our budgeting, where we must be allocating monies to you as a PMTE to keep you going, raise your money. So we are expected to be financially sustainable, and I think that's where we are sitting now. And that's the kind of things that we must start to focus our energies in and spend most of our time. And our response to all of these challenges is that we've started the process of developing a financial sustainability model for the PMT as an important and top important of our priority of our departmental projects. That's what we are doing now. And hence we've set up this whole unit that must drive the scene and blah, blah, blah. And why we are here is to alert and bring the portfolio committee to the realization of these broader problematic issues that are sitting, priorities that we are doing to do this. And alongside this financial sustainability, obviously, is issues of how do you deal with the issues of funding. And I think we've categorized the funding model as in what are our funding sources, the fiscus, whatever to do, including the initiatives that we're going to be doing to ensure that we generate revenue. And then the financial sustainability model, the next slide, I'm not going to go into the detail. I think we know what the model should do. But it will be looking at things like state accommodation charges. I've already indicated that the state accommodation charges that or the rates that you are levying to the client departments are far lower than what you are supposed to be getting. It's nothing. And we can't take the 14 rands that you are charging today and say the actual amount should be 76 rands and all of a sudden just go to Treasury and say now we are going 76 rands for 36.8 million square meters of floor space. You can imagine how much money there is. It's not going to be possible. So it's not there. But it is one of those things that you're going to have to strike a balance as to what is the cost that the fiscus can afford from this deficit that we have, this funding deficit we have, to try and normalize the rating, the rates and the tariffs that you're talking to. And then what we're saying is that we've got a massive market footprint from our own properties. So we need to look at how we can reduce this private leases and move to accommodation that we own. But on the other hand, the point is that accommodation that we own needs to be up in terms of condition. And that's what they're saying before. So it's a position of, you're in a conundrum. You don't know which one to go first and what to leave. So that's what we're sitting with. And then, and we spoke about the appropriate level of accommodation charges. We can't consider the market. It's too high. And we just have to find ways of optimizing other initiatives to ensure that we get revenue. As in, we've got a massive portfolio of 32,000 structures, and we've actually indicated that we have about a 4% of this is just unutilized buildings. But the point is, it's unutilized buildings which you can sell. But after you sold those buildings, it's gone. So you have the money this year. What about next year? Remember, this cost is a running cost. So the deficit you're talking about of 11.8 billion rands, you can meet it by, you know, disposing of your excess properties that are there. But as well, it's a once-off, it's gone. The next year you have the same problem. But in addition to that, what are you going to be able to sell these unused buildings for, given the conditions that they are in? So, I mean, it's that kind of thing that we all need to be thinking about. So, yes, I mean, the issues you have this massive portfolio. There are things that we can do, as in how on the back of this thing can we set up a property empowerment management fund or that kind of thing. So those are the kind of broad things that we are thinking about that we want as we go along in this journey with yourselves. We'll be coming and coming to brief you on. Because Treasury's view today is we want to have a zero transfer to PMTE. And you saw the transfer, there's 3.8 billion rands. Remember the 4.3 we get from the client department, 4.5 from the client departments, augmentation from Treasury is 3.8. So Treasury says, as a start, can we just make sure that the 3.8 has disappeared? Which means you should actually be getting this from the client or user departments, which means the 4.5 that you must get must increase by 3.8. And that's the implications on the unit charge, the rate per charge that we're talking to. And like I said, they said you should recover it from the user departments. And then the next slide just talks about the path towards financial sustainability and all that, the model that you are building. I'm not going to get to the details. And maybe just as a go to the next slide, which just shows the portfolio. If you take these three lines to be the entire portfolio, the 92,000 structures that you are talking about, the 92,000 structures, a significant part of those structures has actually been allocated and committed to client for use. 93% though for the clients plus for public works own domestic use. Total of 93%. Then you've got about 4% that is kind of available. And the 3% is also what we've identified that we can utilize. So we have, like we said, we don't have much in terms of what you can do with this portfolio. It's sitting there, and all of us, if you are going to use this portfolio to try and fund this, you can do it probably once off, but it's not something that continues. Remember, to run the cost, it's a repetitive, continual thing. It's not a once-off expenditure. So what are we saying in a nutshell, in the next slide? The current accommodation budget, which is a fiscal baseline, is not sufficient to cover the current funding gap to adequately manage this portfolio. Then we've got excess capacity alone of 7%, which cannot cover this funding gap. And we need to start ongoing discussions on the funding strategy for the C and talking to the fiscals, revenue generation initiatives that we need to embark on, cost savings, and leveraging private sector funding. And I think we've spoken about the user charge and the charges that we are currently levying from the departments and whatever. So I'm not going to get into slide 29, 30. I think the point is made. 31, 32, we can pass. 33, we can also pass. But 34 is probably just a point that I wanted to make. 34, it all says, for you to be able to have a proper charge to your clients, you need to have information. And the information that you get to date comes from your asset register. And what is the current architectural structure of our asset register? I think Mr. Maroha made the point earlier on that the current way we've structured the register, because remember the register was, let's ensure we've got a GRAP-compliant register. It was not at the time. Let's look at a register that will make sure that we can run our business in terms of, well, I mean, that's one of the things that came out afterwards. Now we've got a register that has got, that is constructed in the following manner. You've got a land parcel. Within the land parcel, you've got a number of facilities. And within the number of facilities, you've got a number of buildings. So the register has gone right up to that level, and it's GRAP compliant. That's where the 93,000 structures come in, whatever, whatever, whatever. The challenge for us, which is the macro that Mr. Maroha spoke about, the challenge for us is to get into now the building and say, let's look at the components in this building. And that's, you need to take this register from this macro to a micro componentized level, where you are going into the sub-asset level. And what you talk about a sub-asset level for a lift, for instance, you'll have the asset as a lift, but the sub-asset would be the conveyor belt of that lift, the whatever. You know, it's a fairly complicated thing. Now, if you think about it and you say, this is like 92,000 structures that we have, buildings that we have, and if we are going to have to put a register to that level of detail, what does it take? How long will it take us? Most probably our entire lifetime trying to do this. Not going to work. So we're going to have to look at it and say, how do you prioritize and segmentalize this register to be able to do those kind of things, and looking at the most critical buildings that we have, and da-da-da-da. So that's the next phase that we are getting into, is to be able to get a level of detail. May not be for the entire register, but for the critical properties that we have. And that will give us an opportunity to do what you can call, now you are really now starting to harvest your register. And once you have this register, now at that level of detail, you can actually sit back and say, I can put and overlay an entire maintenance strategy and program on this register. Right now, you can only do it to the level of the bricks and whatever and respond on the breakages and that, but no strategy of being able to predict things happening. And, honorable members, just the next slide. If you take PMTE and you consider the kind of things that I'm talking about, that we spoke about, and the complexity of this environment, given the critical source of running this thing being the assets themselves, you can imagine running a business of this nature, what kind of system you need and what kind of platform ICT you need and how this all relates to. And central to it, like I said, is your asset register on one left inside you put your asset, your financial management system. So as part of the change and efficiency enhancement and ensuring that we professionalize the way we run this business, it's a whole ICT infrastructure to roll out. I think one of the things that has been coming back and forth and back and forth to the committees, where is your itemized billing? Can you borrow, can you do your billing system? Yes, the billing system can be there, but it's the information that must go into this billing system. And that information is what I've just spoken about in terms of the architectural construct of your register to be able to do it properly. Yes, you're going to have to do it at a micro higher level, but to do it properly, that's what you need. And that provides you, if you look at the detail, how you run your or break up your actual user tariff that you are charging. There's different elements to it. Maintenance, capital, whatever. And all of this information is not something that you can suck out of your thumb. It's something that has to be empirical on a system drawing from actual information. So it's a fairly complex business. We are on a path to try and do something that will be a defining moment for this country the day we get it right. But I think as we go along, like we said, the more you dig deep and the more you get into things, the wiser you get, the more complex you get, the more the standards go up, and that's the scenario that we're talking about. Slide 36, I'll pass as well, and 37, and 38. I'm not going to get into the status of financial model. I think we've gone far. We are almost there, honorable chair and members. We will come one day to demonstrate the financial model of how this business will be run. And you'll be amazed at the different decisions and things that you're going to be doing, and all the, it will all look very magical. So we'll come and do that at some point later on, and just the level of detail that you'll appreciate. And alongside this, there's revenue generation initiatives that you are pursuing. We will come back to indicate to you what he said to the minister. He said, Minister, what we'd like to see happening in the next 6 months is for you to be able to announce and come to a portfolio committee and announce the country and say, we have managed, on the back of our asset register, managed to sign up and commit at least half so much revenue introduced into the fiscus, new money. Not money from robbing Peter to pay Paul. I think we can do certain things with a portfolio. It may not cover all the gap, but it could go a significant way to relieve the fiscus of this financial obligation which we are putting on them. So there's a number of things that you've looked at on slide 39. We're not going to go into the details. And now that we've given you, you can go to the next slide, even the next one, and conclude towards the conclusion. Then the last one. And it's just, what have we been doing with this thing? We've had a significant amount of stakeholder engagement. As you can see, members of the portfolio committee, that we've had engagement with the Treasury extensively, our own audit committee as an oversight body that is very robust. We've actually even been to ISAP, where we've gone and produced and presented this very same presentation that you are seeing here, just to plant the seed to say, this is the situation. And because of, you know, things, we didn't have the opportunity to come to the portfolio committee. Hence our request that let's start the portfolio committee in the new year with this kind of strategic thinking so that we can then walk the path alone together. Not to say the fact that there will be the quarterly normal reports that we do. There is something that we thought the committee should be alive to and, you know, and comprehend in the manner that we want you to comprehend. Just on the recommendations, Chair, we've got them there, that we continue the engagement with the National Treasury and client departments to resolve the issue relating to the tariffs. That's the user charge. We are engaging, but we know we are engaging. We are trying to move from 14 rands, 75 or 76, whatever it is, to some number. That number will not be 76. That's what you're looking for. But we know we're not going to get 76. We could end up at 30. And then we still have between 30 and 76. There are 46, what we do with it. And those are the things that we need to start to think about. And just for the committee to just note the fact that there's a massive strategic risk that the growing funding gap poses to the PMT, to what is the implications, that it actually affects us to do what we're supposed to do. It's just growing and it's going all the way. So we need to arrest the situation. Good that we went on a path of turnaround. If we didn't, this thing would just be going on. At least now we've got the information that we've started to put projects in place to respond to this challenge, and that we have put a unit in the department doing nothing else but thinking about this situation. The business must run. The head of the PNT must run the business, but he also needs to have the strategic thrust in thinking about what is going to happen to this entity in 10 years' time. And it needs the support to be able to drive that process. So we have set up this unit to do that, to coordinate all of those kind of activities. With that, Chair, let's allow at least time for the members to ask the questions. But I think the messages come through, and that's the point that we wanted to bring to your attention. Thank you.
Thank you very much. You tried, members. Before I allow you to ask questions and comments, can we break for 15 minutes? Let's come 25 past. Let's come back 25 past. Thank you very much.
Sometimes like we have a little bit like Most of us, This cost, the 7%, 93% of your quota is already occupied.
The 7%.
So 7% is kind of half of your...
You can't do it. If you can't sweat your portfolio, you can cover your debt.
Thank you.
Honourable members, the time is now 24 minutes past, so can we slowly get to our seats? It was as if I have given too much time, but I can see I have given the correct time. Honourable members, our work is to ensure that the department is not forgetting its reason for existence, the people of South Africa. Now, can I give honourable members the opportunity to ask questions? Honourable Dr. Madloba, Honourable Patricia Adams, Honourable Feldane, Honourable Fick, Honourable Masihela, Honourable Raider, Honourable Matabe, Honourable Freddy Adams, in that order. Thank you very much. One.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair. Thank you very much to the department and the CFO for the presentation of the PNCE. I think we want to congratulate them that they managed to separate the these units in the department, and the PMT became a standalone as a big property unit. I think, Honourable Chair, it was going to help us. We can see achievements that they have done in slide number 7, 8. It continues. It's a good thing that they have done. However, Chair, maybe it was going to assist us as members to understand when was it achieved, so that we can see whether there is a progress to what they have done, because the systems are in place, everything is in place, but the actual implementation that we are concerned with as members of parliament, that's what we need to oversight. It's important to us to understand exactly, because you know, since 2012, you know, they were in this turnaround strategy. They have go all out, try to implement, but you know, I know that it's a format that they report. I'm saying it was going to be more helpful if there was an indication for the time that they achieve those achievements that they have indicated in slide number 7 to 8. Also, I think, I don't know, I see it like as a contradiction. When you look at slide number 7 and 8, especially in 8, they said PMT functions identified organizational structure conquered by the National Treasury and DPSA and approved by separate PESAL system implemented, staff migrated to new structure, critical vacant position identified and filled. But below that, there is filling of position ongoing. And also there is a challenge around the issue of the capacity in the unit of PMTE. If now the critical vacant position were identified and filled, what is the problem? What is the meaning of this ongoing? Is it just a staff complement, not the actual specialist, because here the indication is that you don't have a problem of that, because we have achieved it. Hence, we are saying again, capacity and so on and so forth. Maybe you'll clarify that so that we get an understanding going forward on this particular matter. Also, Chair, you indicated the user charges. Maybe it will assist us to understand what formula you are using to arrive at that user charges. It will really assist us if you can come forward with that and tell us so that when we follow, we do an oversight, and maybe you talk about low tariffs and so on, but you know your formula. How do you arrive at that particular one? The other thing that wants to really understand, because you know this presentation, I think others we have seen before. You have indicated in the presentation the models and the possibilities, but I want just to get an understanding. Is the real hardship the funding? If you get a funding, you can move as a unit. We want to say that because as members of parliament, we are responsible for passing the budget, and we can also assist to recommend. Maybe in this particular presentation, can you indicate to us the key things that makes you not to move the speed you would want to move? Key things, so that when you come next time, we see, we evaluate according to the key things that is a challenge to you, how far you have gone with it. Because the issue of the staff establishment, I think here you said everything is fine on the key according to your report. But at the same time, you being found wanting about to say, no, there is a challenge. Because in slide number 10 also, when you indicate it's like you are still working with a generalist staff, not the specialist. Hence, you said already you have them, you have achieved it. Maybe you can clarify to us to say what's happening there so that we can follow going forward. Lastly, Chair, because I'm not going to ask a lot of things, I've got a lot that I've noted, but because I want these key things, because one of our tasks is to assist the department where they are having hardship to try and recommend here. So if we understand that one, it will assist us. Lastly, when do you think property management trading entity will be up and running according to your expectations or your plan? To us, I know that also when I'm asking this question, there is a hardship that will say based on this, maybe you'll explain to us on that one, Chair. So I will just end there, Chair. I'm going to give to the other colleagues. I will come back if maybe the other colleagues never ask the question. Thanks.
Honorable Patricia Adams.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for the department for the presentation. I don't have, I'm covered by the honorable member with regard to the vacancy, no, to the user charges. You see, to me, it doesn't make sense. Because we have to drive this entity as a business entity. You can't charge 100 rand user charge, and your operational costs is 1,000 rand. That doesn't make sense. And I want to say this in Afrikaans, but because I don't know how to say it in English. Dit maak nie sin nie, meneer. Meneer Magoro, jy is aan oorkant, jy verstaan, dit maak net nie sin nie. Because you have to play level. Your income must be, your costs must equal your income. Or no, but you must, you know what I want to, what I'm trying to say to you. So to say that it is government cost, and that doesn't make sense. And you must convince National Treasury of that. Then Chairperson, National Treasury, as I think it's Division 19 say a lot about how an entity must be established while they are they also have an entity. Now, now one of the conditions is it must be a fully fledged trading entity. Fully fledged. What do they mean with a fully fledged? And that you didn't tell us. Now, you say achieved. You say this, National Treasury say this is achieved. What is achieved? You must specify. You have a separate budget since 2006. You have new program budget structure implemented to 15-16. Now, that's 2 years ago. 3 years ago. Then one of the conditions is all people and institutional arrangement must be put in place. Now you say the staff migrated to a new structure. I can't understand your migration, Mr. Mahoro, as a CFO. But this entity, Chairperson, is a very specialized entity. And it's state property. We must have very, very specialized people there. And please unpack that to me. Have you got property specialists, economists, with regard to property? Because I see somebody you play with the idea of selling off something, but Mr. Mahoro, you said that would it be Tsali Albarvesi. So, are you sure that you have all people put in place? And if all people were put in place, why do you struggle with a deficit? You say critical vacant position identified and filled and filling of positions ongoing. Now you have 9 high level positions. 9. 5 of these 9 are vacant or not permanent filled. What is the knock-on effect of that? And it must have a knock-on effect. Now you say you develop a status quo document. Do you think this document, did you do it in house, Mr. Mahoro? And is this document objective? If you did it in-house? Did you get opinions from outside the house to say that is objective? Then Chairperson, this overdraft, I don't want even to go in there. Then Chairperson, the expectations of the PMTE on slide 10, a lot of expectations, the financial sustainability, former CFO. What do you think should be done to get this baby financially sustainable? And you know, you said National Treasury doesn't want to give any allocations to the PMT any longer. Then Chairperson, I think the others will get in there. I just want to get one or two questions in. And that is on slide 43. Yeah, first, the stakeholder engagement. You know, Chairperson, we always hear from DPW that they are engaging with National Treasury. I ask this question for the second time. We want a full brief of the engagements. A full brief. And then someone from the DG and upwards must come and give us. What were the arguments? And why didn't National Treasury give each of their arguments? committee. It's your internal audit committee that you're talking about here on slide. What does your external audit committee say? Do they say the same? Then on the 22nd of November 2017, there was a cabinet committee resolution, the executive decision to establish a PMTE operationalization and financial sustainability program. How far is this? And do you think, Mr. Flokoro, that will help? And when will this baby of ours be come of age, this entity? Chairperson, they said they've gone to 13 in Pretoria, 13 client departments or users. How was the selection done? Did you get selected on face value, or did you look at the broader picture to establish your cost as PMTE? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Patricia Adams. Now move to Honorable Phil Tane.
Thank you, Chair. According to my assessment, Chair, the overall picture that has been presented to us here is that over a period of 20 years, from 1997, the landlord of South Africa has perfected the art of creating a business with an apparent net revenue of a mere 200 million. You subtract 4.3 billion receipts from 4.3 billion from 4.5 billion. That's receipts versus what they get. That's basically what you have been doing for the last 20 years. And you still want to proceed with the sin. You still want to proceed with the sin. Even though you have got no funding, you still want to proceed with this PMT. It was so poorly conceptualized, no funding, no risk analysis. There is nothing surprising with what you are seeing here today. I am wondering why so many cabinet meetings, so many cabinet ministers, and ultimately the current cabinet could not see through what is so simple, that this is a plan hatched just to bring down the government. You are the landlord, you don't have money and technical capacity to maintain buildings. Now, to make matters worse, you are hatching a plan to attract the private sector. Now, look at your figures that you've given us. 14.23 vis-a-vis 85 rands. You're charging 71% less than what the private sector is charging. And you still want to proceed, even though there is no prospect of getting any money from the government. Big question I have, a general one, is why do you want to proceed with this project? It has cost government 20 years, demonstrating along the way that it's just not a worthwhile project at all. You should be looking at a totally radical way of doing this business rather than what you are looking at. It's an exercise in futility. Small wonder, Chair, that neither the new minister nor the old deputy minister or the newly appointed DG are here. This is supposed to be a flagship program of the department, but none of them felt compelled to sacrifice even 1 hour to be with us. And you expect us to think that this is serious business. It's a failure. Over 20 years, built over 20 years. All that this has cost is civil servant salaries over 20 years, which on average is the half of the working life of a civil servant. At around 20, you go to work. At around 60, you retire, having spent 40 years working. So 20 years, civil servants have earned money. cabinet ministers have had black cars shunting them around just to develop this, the landlord of the country. You couldn't have placed bigger failure anywhere else, not in any other department except here. That's basically what you brought to us here. Question is why. Now, few specific questions. I've tried, Chair, you know, to look at the majors rather than minding the majors rather than majoring on minors, which is why this presentation was so long. It's all about minors. The concept is a total collapse, the main thing. Now, question is, do you have enough appropriately qualified personnel now, after 20 years since the concept was hatched? Suppose the answer is not exactly positive. Now, are your operational guidelines in sync with the SLAs that the department has with the user departments? Recently, we were sent on request the service level agreement that the department has with the user departments. And I'm asking this because if there is a discrepancy between the two, then there is an internal conflict. And I'm asking this, Chair, because Treasury expects you to operate on business lines, but I didn't see anything business-like in that SLA at all. That's another fundamental reason why I believe that you are being set up to fail. But you have got an opportunity to explain yourself. Now, the raw reason why this institution called government exists is to deliver social services. And you've spent 20 years self-serving, 20 years, still talking about appropriate stuff, budget and what have you. Is it not one of Treasury's specific expectations that you should demonstrate a social return for your services to say the people of South Africa, and there are many who have got no space, hence the big debate on land expropriation, they've got no trading space, and I know this is the umpteenth time that I have said this, to this committee. How do you provision for people to occupy unused space? Or when are you going to start on doing that so that you can, even the poor people can say, we are sharing, you know, in the unused space of our government? And so, specific question there, does Treasury prohibit you or does Treasury not expect you as part of your reporting format to say the social return on our operations, operating as we do as a business, these are the social returns. Now, how do you propose dealing with the defaulting departments? We know they are perpetual defaulters. As business people, you must be having, not tell me that you are still going to go back to your 10th office in Pretoria and draft a plan of dealing with the defaulting. It is there, it's an established practice. How are you going to deal with them? Because you must have had a plan, has a plan already. And my take, Chair, towards the end, is that this department will not attract serious business people. If we, just looking at this concept, they will move around in circles, holding planning meeting after planning meeting. If your starting premise is that you're charging 71% less than the market rate, on the one hand, practically. But on the other hand, Treasury says, operate like a business, but you continue to charge 71%, what kind of mentality would a businessman be attracted to do business with you? From China? Can only be people from China, out of whom you get nothing. They come here to benefit, basically. Look at all their projects. You tell me how South Africa has benefited. They will take the space up. That's the only businessman you'll be able to attract. Nobody who is in their sober senses will come up. I wouldn't. I've operated businesses over 20, 30 years. I wouldn't want to go to bed with some people who charge below market rates and have got no capital or plan for maintaining buildings. So I don't see you doing what you say the Treasury is expecting you to do, that is to be an economic stimulant. But I challenge you, put that in the form of a question, how are you going to do it? How are you going to become an economic stimulant with this current fundamental faulty plan? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Fick.
chairman of the UDM.
Got it. It's because this thing probably cost lower than the actual market value. Honourable Chairperson, thank you. For me, my input with regards to this is, I think from the outset I would state that I would not support any additional funding requested from this entity. The reason being is that the entity has assets that they should use to generate income, and clearly they're not generating income from the assets. So more money, it will be just used and wasted as has been indicated. I've recently been aware that there are also assets that are unused, as indicated in the presentation as well. The assets that the entity that they're supposed to manage, this unit, the assets are dilapidated. They are dilapidating on a regular basis. So what says that any additional funding received will be used wisely? So I would not support any additional funding for this entity. They must be the only landlord in the country that doesn't make money from assets that they own. Everybody else is making money, but this entity is not making money. So by considering other departments, the entity is not generating the income that they should be. So I just have a serious problem with it. It's a good presentation, but it also outlines the deficiencies in this department. Chairperson, can we also get an indication of how many, obviously we're not going to get that today, but how many staff is employed in this department and their specific functions as well? It might be found somewhere, reference to that will also be useful as well, because I'm asking that question because I don't believe that there are specialists that are in this, enough specialists that are in this department that are able to manage property the way it's supposed to be managed. I mean, this is a property management and trading entity. So it's clear that the properties are not managed and they're not trading efficiently with the assets that they have. If I refer to specific slides, Honourable Chairperson, if I start with slide number 5, and I ask these similar questions because a lot of the presentations that we get and information that this committee gets and other committees is that we are going to do so and so and we're going to do X. Now, clearly, surely, this is something that is the norm for any entity of this nature, is that you, in this case, you're supposed to manage property and make a profit from it. Honourable Fultani indicated the amount of profit that they've made, but that was just gross profit. There are other expenses that need to be deducted as well. That's excluding rates and taxes, so we still need to get there. If you show the true picture, then you can imagine how much in the red this entity will be. So, if you look at on slide number 5, that they say they want to develop a credible immovable asset register. I mean, before you even purchase assets, that should be your first document that you have. Whatever asset you purchase, you record in an asset register. Now, after so many years, you now start recording 95,000, and it might not even be accurate. You record 95, because we heard recently that the department, the Minister of Finance mentions one figure, the Minister of Public Works mentions another figure. So you cannot be accurate, and especially if what is happening in this department is that they're still using Excel. So I'm not going to go through all those items on slide number 10, but if you look at them, all that stuff is stuff that before you even start, that should be your objective and your goals in order to achieve what they set out to achieve. Similar to slide number 6. Slide number 9, this is again Honourable Adams, Patricia Adams here, says that she's not going to go into the overdraft. I would like to go into the overdraft. I would like to find out what is the overdraft. Where does the entity get permission from to go into an overdraft? So what is the amount of the overdraft and what is the cost of that overdraft? How much interest has been paid on that overdraft? So
it can't be right. Mr. Makhoro indicated, that some of the buildings might be sold, might be necessary, yes, but then he also indicated that it won't be possible to sell it because of the state they're in. But again, my question is that, and then also, they're in a catch-22 situation because they don't have any money to repair the asset. So you can't sell it because you're not going to get what the value of the asset. But you don't have any funds to repair it. So what do you do then? Some decision needs to be made. What is going to happen? But having said that, you're in the business for managing and trading of assets. So why do you want to sell what you've got? It's like you're a car dealer, and then you get rent in this case from assets that you're still going to maintain, but you want to sell it. So you're selling your stock in trade. It doesn't make sense. But perhaps the reason could be is that the people that are employed are not in the business of managing and trading of property, and so therefore, marketing, they might not be marketing experience, might not be retail experience. I see there is a summary done or an analysis done of the cost and the rental that should be charged, but why that has not been charged, you've indicated you cannot feel sorry for somebody at your own expense. It just doesn't make sense. I mean, at the end of the day, you come in here to explain your deficiency because of helping another department. Cannot be right. It's a problem. So somebody needs to, somebody indicated that Treasury must be informed. So that is a serious problem. Slide number 15. So my colleague, Honorable Filtani, indicated that they've made 200 million over the past period, yeah. I've also indicated that is a problem, but I spoke about this the last time, Honorable Chairperson. The value of, it's indicated gross deemed cost, but I'm sure that if they wanted to indicate that this is the value of the properties, 148 billion can't be right. And I think I did a calculation the last time. If you divide 93,000 profit structures, or divide 148 billion by 93,000, you get somewhere around 1.4 million. I mean, that can't be. It's impossible that you can house a department, for example, correctional services or Department of Health, in a property valued at 1.4. 1.4 million is about the size of where we're sitting. So somewhere there is a problem. I'm nearly done, Honorable Chairperson. Just two more slides. One more. I've indicated on slide number 18 that, as I've indicated at the beginning, that we have a poor landlord here. Now, this 14 rand or 26 rand per meter that they should charge, but they're only charging 4 and 74 per square meter. So that, again, is only a cost that has been calculated based on the property that is rented. Again, in addition, because you are the landlord, there's also your rates and your taxes and all other expenses that have to be paid. There's the maintenance that has to be done. There's a replacement, there's refurbishment. So if you do an accurate calculation, you'll find that this department will be more in the red than is actually indicated. So on what we have in front of us is useful information, but based on that, I would not support any increase until they. There's a lot of property, and Julius wants some property, so it might not be necessary to expropriate in the long run anyway, because we've got property that's available. Sorry for that last one, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Honorable Masuela.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Let me welcome the presentation from the department. From the onset, let me also indicate that being the landlord of the state, it definitely means that this entity is an engine of the state. We are the ones, or you are the ones, who are supposed to be making a lot of money more than any other entity, because property is needed day in and day out. Indeed, we all, I don't know whether it is the weakness in the department where always when we lease property, we lease it with very, very little amount. I don't know why are we doing that compared to the market value that is there. We had some oversight to the small harbors. It was really shocking the way our tariffs are in those places, where you find that the people who are renting there, who are leasing there, very rich people, making a lot of money, they pay close to nothing to those spaces that they are using. And it is within our department. So there is something wrong. If really we can go to market value or a little bit lesser than that, I'm sure we will never be in the red. We'll be running our work much better. In most cases here, we present in a general form. For example, on slide number 7, Internal Control Directorate established. It is established, but is it functional? Is it really working? Those are some of the things as you present to us, you must indicate whether the things that we are seeing, so that we are going to have information that is really, really clear to us. Okay, the positions, I think someone else has did speak to them. On slide number 9, accommodation charges, that is that recommendation number 3. I'm not very clear on that one. Can you explain it a bit? Because we are talking about the unfunded mandates and so on. What do we mean by that one? Okay. I want also to go to slide number 11. Why do we engage in this unfunded expenditure of this magnitude, 11.8 billion per annum, on slide number 11? Can you explain what happened here? How did you get to that? Okay. The other issue which they have already talked about, I think I also talked about, is for the engine to really function properly, it definitely we need experts. We need to hire people who are experts in this field. And I don't understand why are we having a problem in doing that, because year in and year out, there are students who are graduating from different universities, different technicals and so on, with the expertise that we need. Why are we not in the position to recruit them so that they get in and we know that we have got the right expertise that we need? Without the right expertise, honestly speaking, we'll be getting nowhere and we'll remain in the red. This entity, Honorable Chairperson, is not supposed to be in the red. It cannot be. It must be one of those entities that are able to be self-sustained more than any other one. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Raider.
Thank you very much, Chair. As you pointed out in the introductions earlier on, I am part of the opposition, and it's my job to complain, but sometimes I despair that my job is made so easy. Chair, there was considerable time spent in placing the current situation in context, and I'm going to try and place a little bit more context on the issue. My first interaction with PMTE was at the BRRR discussions last year, when PMTE was given an adverse finding on their audit. So the context we have here today is we have got a financial delinquent or a governance delinquent being asked to be trusted with the keys to the safe or asked for more access to funding. That's where we're sitting at the moment. Whilst we're sitting here, we've got children dying in pit toilets in government properties. We've got a presentation last week of 19,000 red flags on a property portfolio of 29,000. We've got properties owned by government that have been invaded, that have got squatters living on them. And generally shocking conditions for the people of South Africa to attend when they come into government departments. So what you said, Chair, when we introduced the thing is that our jobs as government is to ensure that we're improving the lives of the people that we're serving. We must never forget that, Chair, because at the moment we're getting ourselves bogged down in detail and we're not delivering the services that the people of this country expect or want. Now, let's go back to that adverse audit opinion. Financial year effectively ends on Thursday, if I'm not mistaken. The title of the presentation was Progress on Operationalization and Strategic Considerations to Reach Financial Sustainability. I would have expected a little bit more of an update on how close the department or PMTE is in terms of improving their audit outcome. But instead we've got a request for a relook at the entire model. So there's an elephant in the room, Chair, and the elephant is not the steampunk aircon system that we've got in one of Public Works Department's premier portfolio buildings, which kind of indicates one of the problems that we're sitting with. I mean, this aircon is, the biggest belief that we have to sit. Anyway, we won't go down that route. But the elephant, the real elephant in the room, Chair, is the asset register. Now, if you look at slide 33 of the presentation, it says the immovable asset register is the main source for the calculation of the user charges per facility type. The current register was developed fundamentally to meet compliance and reporting requirements in terms of PFMA and GRAP, and it carries on and says how the asset register is not suitable for utilization going forward for the purposes of the department. Now, the reality, Chair, is that, and I think Honourable Patricia Adams will agree with me, the huidige register is nader aan 'n grap as far as aan GRAP is. It's close to a joke, Chair, because here we sit again. Was it last week or the week before where we were assured by the department that they stand by their figure of 29,322 properties that are on the asset register? And they disagree with Minister Gigaba's 195,000. But here we sit, and if you look at page 16, suddenly that number of 29,322 that was stood by no more than 14 days ago has changed on slide 16 to 31,000. Now, either we've been on a massive acquisition program over the last couple of weeks, or we still don't have a handle on the asset register. We do not know what we own. So we can't place any reliance on the information that we're getting as a committee in terms of what it is that we own. I mean, we had the comment 2 weeks ago as well that the Excel spreadsheet is still a reality and the movement onto Archibus is not complete. Now we're told that the movement that we're GRAP compliant and the movement to Archibus is complete. I think that was it wasn't specifically stated, but it was certainly implied. The movement onto Archibus was going to be, and I didn't quite understand if it was going to be complete or it was going to be started, that our reliance on Archibus was going to happen from the 1st of April. I would expect that it would be started from the 1st of April, otherwise it would be complete by the 30th of March. But the reality, Chair, is we don't have an asset register that we can place any reliance on. How can we honestly expect the Auditor General to change their audit opinion when no work has been done to improve the situation? How can we expect Treasury to even consider looking at financial modelling until we know, as a department, what it is that we own and what we're managing? So, Chair, that asset register, again, is my big bugbear, and you will hear more about it later on this afternoon, I'm sure. Chair, then, slide 17 relates to the 2006 changes. And the question that I have is, have those changes worked? We speak about devolution to the departments. Has it worked? Because we're 11 years later and we're sitting in a seriously concerning situation where we're operating as a landlord at a massive loss. Our assets are degrading. The taxi driver is selling the car to keep up with the payments of the overdraft facility, etc. So, have those changes worked? And the reason I ask that is because we're in a process, apparently, for the last 5 or 6 years of reviewing the white papers. And I think this adds credence to the fact that those white papers, the review of those white papers, needs to be accelerated dramatically so that we can determine what is the direction that the department is going to take going forward, what is our actual job, what is the department supposed to be doing with these properties, and how are we going to be doing it. Good. Then we'll get to National Treasury. Now, as I say, we're asking for the keys to the safe. I think slide 10 detailed what Treasury's expectations are. And I don't think that they are way out of line, what they're saying in slide 10. I think it is fairly straightforward. And then on slide 11, we point to the 5 billion shortfall, or the 11 billion shortfall. 5 billion in terms of just getting by, and 11 billion in terms of actually, you know, making things happen. And slide 21, I took, you know, the expectations gap. The question is, can we deliver on slide 21? Can we deliver to that expectation of 85 rand? I don't believe the department is adequately skilled. I don't believe that even if we were given all the funding that we wanted, I do not believe that we could ever deliver as a Department of Public Works an 85 rand per square meter expectation. So I think the problem is more internal than external at the moment. I think it's positive that the department has come with a plan. It's taken a year from the BRRR report to now to come with a plan and decide, okay, we need more money. But I think what's important is that we actually need Treasury here. And perhaps, Chair, we can talk to the Secretariat and invite Treasury to come and give their opinion. The comment was made that, yes, we're talking to Treasury. But the further question then is Treasury listening, and what are they saying back? Because frankly, I think that Treasury is probably laughing this off, because we're looking for more money, and of course more money will solve a lot of problems, but where's it going to come from? And I don't believe that money exists, certainly not while we are delivering on sketchy promises made by ex-presidents. Chair, I think that we need to consider, therefore, not only focusing all of our time and attention on our plan, I think we also need to focus a little bit inward and start looking at what the department needs to be doing. So, plan B. Number one, step one, get a handle on your portfolio. Know what your job is. Know what you're supposed to be managing. Step two, decide what your job is. Get clarity in terms of what is your job and your role and function as custodian, in terms of maintenance, in terms of all of those things. Decide where your job ends and where the user department job starts. Step three, negotiate properly with your user departments. If the user departments are not paying market-related or sustainable rates or payments, okay, we need to renegotiate some of those leases. And it's not a quick process. It's something that takes a long time, because there's budgets that take a long time to put together that need to get approved. So if you start negotiating today, you've probably got an 18-month horizon in terms of getting to a point where your income is going to improve based on your negotiations of your leases. And then step four, stop the overspending and wastage and theft and criminality that we see in so many of the public works projects that we see when we go out on oversight. The places where, I mean, the common thing is, oh, you're doing that quote for government. Take your bottom line and times it by three. That's the good thumb suck, okay? Because you can overcharge government as much as you want. The theft and the criminality is not always by the department. It's just as often by the contractors and the guys that are doing the work for us on the ground. So I do believe that the Honourable Fig had a fantastic point and said that you need to get professionals in, not just people that are managers, people that understand property, people that are running big property portfolios, the banks who have brick and mortar in almost every town, big companies that do property rentals like Old Mutual, Liberty Life, etc., the big investments. Let's start interacting with them and getting best practice. Maybe poach a couple of their staff and get in some decent people that actually know the job that needs to be done. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Matebe.
Thank you, Chairperson. My colleague, most of my questions are covered. I just got three clarity which I need to know to ask the department to clarify. Just wanted to know about this OBB. What is the difference between PMTE and OBB, Operation Greenberg? Because I don't see the differences. The second one is a question of turnaround strategy. I think for stabilization of department due to the historical poor performance and a lack of adequate management, you have to introduce this itemized billing system as soon as possible. And also my concern is question of category D, the one you said you've been categorized as a PMT, that you are a failure, what was the risk of failure. What are you doing about it? I mean, really, it's scary. Last time, I had a concern about the department itself, that hence there's no delivery performance and nothing's happening in the department. Can we take a stock, or what is happening? Who's doing what, when, and how? In terms of corruption, if you come to the push, let the hawks come in and clean up the department. The last one is question of lease. In one of the presentations, there's one presenter from my department who said that we are no longer giving the leases. We are using SLA. So I don't know how true is it. And the difference between 99 years and 5 years, because we have moved from 99 years, nowadays it's 5 years. Why? Why? How do you come with that? Thank you.
Thank you very much. The last honorable member would be Honorable Freddie Adams.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, really I don't know what to say. But I think our problem really is Chairperson. And it's a pity that the department's political principles are not here. But you see, what we are sitting at the moment is also with the changing of political principles every year or every 6 months, or these 12 o'clock cabinet reshuffles or 10 o'clock cabinet reshuffles and all that. Because the minute one political principle engaged Treasury, they get removed. Now, I'm not defending the staff or anything. Don't get me wrong on that. But also, what I've seen in front of me, the faces in front of me, it's also very much new people in terms of to the PMTE. Now, I know Brad Zakes is... Sorry, Mr. Morocco. Sorry for projects. But I know Mr. Morocco is a very hands-on person, and Ukox Mokhoro as well as CFO has done well. Under his CFO stewardship, the department got a clean audit at one stage. Now, Chair, I think this committee's instructions to them is turn PMT around. The reason why National Treasury has agreed in 2006 for the PMT to be there, it must make money for the department. It cannot be a loss. Now, Treasury does not fund trading entities. It's in the regulations, 19. It's there in Treasury regulations. Trading entities must make money, not lose money. PMTE is losing money. It's like a bottomless, you go to Wimpy, you get this bottomless, but cup of coffee. Or is it that mug and bean? Or mug and bean? Huh? Wimpy as well, eh? Mug and bean, Wimpy, all that. Nola will know because she hangs out in those wonderful places. But, Chair, how can we, as a portfolio committee, even allow a presentation to come in front of us like this and say that go back and do this, 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 and the other? We must, in actual fact, say, guys, if you don't do this, we will charge you. We will write recommendations for you to be charged. Because what's happening, here we had a previous guy from the PMTE, Paul Sorote, who was then chased away unceremoniously. Oh, he left, went to SAA now. Now the point is, Jay, what we need to then state clearly, that minister, if you leave from one department to the other, the staff must fulfill the contracts in that department. Because if some of the staff has stayed behind with the PMTE, because it was taking off, it would have been really where they could have come back today and says, okay, we have done X, Y, Z. We must still put ABC. Or if we have done ABC, we must still put X, Y, Z. Now, the fact of the matter is, Jack, how do you go then to say, no, now we are running at a loss. Now we are asking Treasury for more money. Now we are doing that and that. We have given PMT a mandate, this committee, Mr. Mokgoro, you would still recall, in V119, this committee said to PMTE, go to universities, go to tertiary education centers, get people that studies in the property market related field, train them, give them bursaries, train them so that they can go out there and look down all the properties and start changing the laws and regulations. For crying out aloud, 2012 properties were going for 127 rand per square meter and you still charge 474 rand per square meter. In 2012, we've said that to you in 2011. Guys, you cannot charge 400 rand per square meter in 2011. Promises was given, 4 rand, sorry. Promises was given then, I was in the National Council of Provinces. Promises were given that, no, we will up it now. Now we come here today, 74 rand. We're crying out aloud, man. How does that work? No, guys. Property now, per square meter, offers rental, it's going for 210 rand. You go to Melrose, if you go here in the city, last week I've said, why does provinces don't want to release their properties? Because the provinces are charging the market-related rent. Well, National Public Works says, no, it's fine, don't worry, we got Mahala, we can go to Treasury. Then Treasury say, hey, stop the lorry, stop the bus, or stop the train. So, Chair, I want to really say that this committee must instruct Mr. Mokgoro, Mr. Morocco, I forgot our lady, Ms. Supra. SASA is payment agency for all that. DDG Faisal, our gentleman that has also joined the department here. And Paul, we can put one side, but we must instruct them, Chair, to go back to their political principle, which is the DG, the Deputy Minister, and the Minister, to say we need to fix this. We need to go to Treasury with something that will show Treasury that we will be able to make money. That Treasury does not give us money, but because forever them going to Treasury to ask for money, Treasury will, under Regulation 19, Treasury will send them back to the moon forever. And they'll come back here next year to the same committee with basically the same things. To say, no, we've done that, we've done. We've heard these things from 206 already. We've heard these things. So I would really chair back your indulgence that we say to this department that go back. Go what you have been mandated from that time already. If I can ask them, how many students have they got into their system? How many students are working for them? How many students they have trained in terms of these type of things? You don't have to get Bill Rawson and all that. Bill Rawson is going to charge you more than in Kandla per month. But you can easily train those people. It will assist also in doing what we are supposed to do. As the chair said, we are here with you to make South Africa work. And if we fail in our oversight to address you of not fulfilling what you need to do, then we fail South Africa. We fail our electorate. We fail you. You sit there for five. You sit there. In 5 years' time, your contract must be renewed. We must go back to the electorate to ask for a contract again. All of us here, irrespective of which party we belong, we must go back to the electorate to ask, renew our contract. The electorate will then say, hey, you have sat there with a PMTE. What have you done? You have not done your oversight. But PMTE is very quick. DPW is very quick to sell buildings to outside people, and those people lease back the buildings to DPW at market-related and much more than market-related prices. What happened to the Northwest incident now? Now, those DPW is paying 640 rand per square meter, where they lease the building for 4 rand, 74 rand per square meter. But now they lease it back from a private person for 640 rand per square meter. So it doesn't make sense, guys. So I want to say, please, if you come next time with the stories, we'll get the Hawks their chair to sit here in one of these beautiful chairs. And the minute they start opening their mouth and they have not done, we say to the Hawks, charge. Charge them on the spot. Charge them. That is what we have to do. Thank you, Chair. Chair, if you'll excuse me, the memorial service for our benchmate, she was sitting between yourself and myself, is on at the moment, so I just want to go pay my last respects. So I can get closer when I go to the bench to sit then. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much. I'm done with the honorable members, officials. As the chair, my duty is to be a good facilitator, defend the victims against aggressors. Now, I'm trying to check who may be the victim here, who may be the aggressor. Honorable Raider.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I think based on the nature and the tone and the content of the interactions from the members, and with the absence of political principles here, I'm wondering if it's fair to place the officials on the spot, and if they'll even be able to make proper representations to the committee. And I'm wondering if we shouldn't invite them to come back in a month or so and give us some additional input. It's just a recommendation I'm putting, Chair.
Okay. No, you are out of order. In fact, I thought you were going to come up with something else. Remember, I've given you opportunity to ask questions and clarities. Now to try and pretend you are the chair of the meeting, you want to summarize. And so it's really not very good. So I am the chair. I'm supposed to summarize and take the committee
way forward. So remember, every department hire senior officials who are highly qualified. In the interviews, they are always saying we are equal to the task. We can even go an extra mile. We can work under pressure. We are good in planning. We are good in, you know, they said all these have been in many of the interviews where senior officials were engaged. So I must say, I was saying, I'm not sure who's the victim now here, who must I defend. I'm just reminded by honorable members that in many of the meetings, I always remind us, members of the portfolio and the departmental officials, that we are here for the people of South Africa who were marginalized by apartheid for 350 years, including colonizers. People who were colonizing us, they marginalized 80% of the people. They elevated 10%. Now, we can't continue elevating 10% even today. It can't continue. So this is something that we must change. We have now included those that were excluded. But we are including them theoretically, but practically, they are not. You have buildings, whether you call houses, you have clinics, top of the art clinics that you have put up, but they are not opened for the community to use. Now you want us to be sympathetic to you. We want us to think you are victims. When you are denying people services, even on properties that are already finished, that is what our oversight visit, they have in fact uncovered one clinic in Mthatha, in a place called the, what? Kendule, is top of the range clinic. For more than a year, it is not opened. People cannot access because the contractor is not paid. By who? By yourselves or your colleagues. Remember, you are one, you represent public works. You may call yourself PMTE, but in the end of the day, you represent the Department of Public Works. Just yesterday, last week, I was telling the same portfolio, you go here in Cape Town, you go past Belleville, there's an area called, what, Reveal? Girls Reveal. There's a suburb of 89 beautiful houses meant to house policemen or police family people, but only one house is occupied by a family, but that family is also threatening to leave because they can't be alone. It's not nice to stay alone. Kids cannot play with anybody. So, but that 89 houses is regularly attended to in terms of renovations. You're spending on unutilized properties on weekly and monthly basis. And you want us to think you are victims. You are aggressors against the poor. Because those 89 houses, how many people in South Africa are homeless, put in that situation by apartheid? Not by you. You must address it. You become to be an aggressor because you are not addressing Bodada. Understand that? You think you to be smart, you must be happy with Oppenheimer and Rupert. It can't be. We can't, we must be clear. South Africa does not belong to two rich families. It just can't be right. So we have a duty to think for the poor. We can't be influenced by the media because the media is owned by the same few families. It's not owned by poor people. So you are not then victims, you are aggressors. The fact that you are spending, you are given budget every year, but
You cannot keep records of that money. When the auditor general come to look at the record, the receipts, you don't give anything. That money is gone. Then you expect us to say, let's think for you, let's give you more money. When you cannot account for the little we have given you, is it fair? You were the CFO. Is it fair to ask for more money, for more millions, for more billions, when you could not account for the little you have been given? When you still have beautiful houses, beautiful clinics that are unutilized, you can't come out with a well-thought way of utilizing. Remember, we are in a developing country. We're in a country where 80% were excluded from things, even properties. Why don't you assist the situation? Why don't you develop them? Why don't you better the situation? Even if you may be losing those properties, anyway you are losing because you are not getting any benefit from the 89 houses in Kale's refuel. No, you are forever. Maybe your benefit is to employ or hire contractors to renovate them, and one would then add, why is hiring of contractors to renovate unutilized building? Why does that one make you happy? After renovating, why don't you sell them? To the needy people, not to the rich people. When we went to the small harbor as a committee, we find that you are renting to the rich people, the same families I talk about. Kantinina, are you for the poor? Or are you for, you are still enhancing, or you are still, you are retaining the apartheid? Well, why are you doing this to the poor people? So we're giving you a report. You have heard, honorable member, when we did this investigation, when we went to small harbors, the people that are renting, and they are renting almost to nothing. You know, when you have access to the sea, it's a business on its own. But you don't want people who are nobody to become somebody as a result of your intervention, which is what the Constitution of South Africa wants you to do as officials. You work in the ministry. It is that why we are here. Why are we not empowering those that were marginalized? Why are we still moving with the big guns? Why? So that is not very good. So we would want answers to these questions that the honorable members have given. But some of the answers should be given in a more detailed situation. I don't think you can give them now. So the little I can do is to say, by Friday, the 6th of April, if we can get a detailed response to all the answers and the concerns by the members. There were clear answers. Clear questions. You see, if I can just a few of them. Mr. Piltane is saying, you see, what is wrong by Mr. Piltane and Radel is for them to project themselves as opposition. We have no opposition in the committee. We for the people of South Africa. So you don't want to take points as if the opposition is doing anything. Remember, opposition was leading South Africa. They colonized everybody. They excluded everybody. Isn't it? Now, we are one here. We are liberating people. So don't expose yourself, because we'll then force, we'll be forced to expose Gutikahlekahle, who were colonizing us. Is it? So remember, South Africa is from a racially divided South Africa. You may want us not to talk about it, but it's a fact. So now we are addressing that as one in this portfolio. We are one. That is why your questions, when Honorable Phil Dane, you are saying for the committee, and I accept them. So don't want to elevate yourself outside the committee, because I don't take kind. No, that's not you. That's your colleague there, you see, Radel. So we are one. Where officials are
not doing good. We don't criticize them on the basis of being opposition or not. We criticize them on the basis of facts. Yeah, I hope you are with now me, Honorable Leader, that we are not criticizing on the basis of where you're from. Because now you will be, those of us who are in the governing party will be forced to defend then if that is how you see things. So it's a wrong way of doing things. Né? So we must always be objective, not be informed by which party you are. So please take that. One key thing that Honorable Vidane put across is saying, for 20 years, you were trying to set this company to deliver to the people. 11 years, it has been set up, but there's little to show. Even Auditor General, this new thing, you know, something that is thought recently should be better off than the things that were thought sometimes ago. Now, even though you were recently thought, still you cannot even account to the Auditor General. How do we help you? Help you to take the money to where we don't know where. Deprive communities of properties. Build the clinics, but we see them, but we don't even utilize them. No, we can't be happy. So we can't be happy. I am not of the view that because the minister is not here, the DM is not here, so we must pay you. You are paid highly. You are always there. In fact, you are the one that are hired on the basis of qualification. Politicians' qualification is to be popular, and even without a degree, you become a politician. That's why you have many without degrees in diplomas. Others not even matric. But you must have degree. But now the members are saying, you must have degrees that are relevant to the portfolio, to the area of your work. They even want a report, a detailed report, on how many property practitioners, how many finance people, how many construction people. So they want all those detailed reports. So they even want to understand the students, because we have universities. We even have a student there with us. Because universities are giving us students every student that you are also utilizing. So they want a detailed report, the areas of expertise. They want to hear that. So, which means it's a detailed report we are looking at. Answering this question, how should we support you when things are this bad? So what are those answers? The overdraft, how much? What is the interest? What was the motivation? So you are the one, it's not really the minister. You are employed by the minister to implement on behalf of the department. So you are the right people. So you are the implementers. So we must ask you, not the minister. You are trained. The minister is a politician. He can push it, he can argue about raid the parliament. But you must deliver to the people of South Africa. So I think that was one question. Good, too many years, 20 years planning. In fact, Mr. Radel, the point he put was you plan before you do things. That's what he said. Before you even come with a company, you plan. It is like you planning while you are moving. But even your planning is taking too long. 20 years, 10 years is too long. That's what there's a lot of good points. That the honourable members have said, I was also writing. I hope you were also writing. All the points they see, because they are good. All of them. All of them, I must say. All of them. They were very good. Why still spend money on unutilized buildings forever? No solution. The honourable Filtane asked, Fig, you want to sell buildings, but they are bad. Then you want to renovate, now you don't know what to do. You can't be leading when you cannot make decisions. You must decide, because you have been renovating anyway. Why didn't you sell? But you don't sell to the rich, I'm clear.
empower the emerging contractors, people who are nobody, must be somebody, because of the involvement of the department. This thing of being excited, of moving with the same people that were there in 1970, like it is happening in SAA, whatever, still happening. We get blame for the people who have been there. So please, there is this thing that the estimated prices as well, when in those 13 pilot projects, the price there is look like a joke. You know? So that's the calculation of one honorable member. And I think I agree with that member. So I think you must be serious. This thing of hoping that the portfolio will be happy with you, will defend you. We defend the people of South Africa. Because otherwise, they will think we from the governing party, we don't deserve to be leading. Because we always smile with you. So we want to be elected on the basis of fighting for the people. So I hope you understand, Uti. When you are not really doing a good job, we can't be happy. Indeed, I think this thing of the roles, the clarity of the roles, the department, you see, your and yourself, the members have said, I think it must be clear so that at least you know what you must do, what the department must do. But it's nothing for Mahala. So the department must pay for what they are getting. So the same, the contractors, when they put up a clinic, they must be paid. But stop appeasing the colonizers. Stop appeasing. So South Africa belongs to everybody, even the poor. The newly graduated graduates must get you, empower them. Please. Can we agree that we get the response in detail by Friday, if that is possible? Can we get a response? Because we want it detailed in all the questions. You can say, the two of you can comment and indicate. If there's an area that you feel strongly, maybe you want to comment on, you can also comment now, and then both of you.
Chair, I would like to make the following comments. I think for what Public Works wants to do, this committee is critical for us to do what we need to do. The engagement today and the questions were quite deep, quite material, and quite telling in terms of the state of mind of the committee. So I think it will be, you know, we would request, Chair, that yes, we can provide the detailed answers in writing, but I think to continue to foster a meaningful dialogue, we would want to request another session where, after we've prepared the questions, we can come and present in person. And we hope that we can also maybe get our principals. But I think for this dialogue to be meaningful, I think the formation of PMTE, the success of PMTE, we're going to be, you know, having a very intimate discussion with yourselves. So we would say we will be prepared to take what we've had today, sit down and formulate detailed responses, but we would want to come and present here so that we can have this ongoing discussion. So that would be my request. I don't know whether my colleague would want to.
Thanks, Chair and honourable members. I think Mr. Marojes, I want to agree with him, because I'm sitting and I was listening to the questions. There's quite a number of questions, the battery, an avalanche of questions. But from the questions, what I pick up is that what we were trying to achieve is somewhere here, and where the committee is at is somewhere here, so we need to narrow that. And just sitting down and writing the questions may not do justice to that. I think it requires, and I'm sure it's a fault on our part, of how can we take the very same presentation and package it in such a way that it doesn't leave room for different interpretations and understandings. I think that's very critical. Because I think there are fundamental things in the questions that I think we probably may not have addressed properly or have articulated well for all of us to comprehend and be on the same page. And I think an opportunity of coming back here again, it would be grateful, because this is a very important subject. This is a subject that talks to the being of public works outside of policy and whatever. This is the being of public works being the major custodian of this massive asset portfolio, which in actual fact by far is the largest in the entire Southern Hemisphere. And if our principals, which is yourselves and ourselves as the actual runners and foot soldiers, there's this gap of, that exists, it's a fundamental issue that we need to drive and close. So, Chair, yes, the questions we can answer in writing, whatever, but I think it will not do justice in terms of the proper context, which I think we owe it to yourselves to come back here. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Just to put some few other questions, Mr. Pildani. Okay, get in, Mr. Pildani.
Thank you, sir. Just want to register my satisfaction with the response that we're getting from the department. But to add that on the day that they come back, so it should be a condition that they come back with at least one of the political principals. We know the minister may very well be tied up, but the deputy minister has always been very efficient in articulating the affairs of the department. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. Maybe the other questions I'm registering. We need a clarity on the changes of the vision and mission of the PMTE in the 2017 and 2018 annual performance plan from 2015 to 2020 strategic plan of the PMTE above. What was the reason for changing these in the revised 2015 to 2020 PMTE strategic plan? For example, the vision in PMTE 2017-18 annual performance plan now reads convenient access to dignified public services. And it further, while the mission reads the effective management of the state's immovable assets to contribute towards economic and social development and transformation of the built environment. So if you can compare those two, because we really fighting for the social transformation. The Constitution wants us to reverse what is on the ground. Maybe if you could not get the question, I will send them to you, because I've got a list of questions. One question, I think other honorable members did try to ask, but it is talking about to clarify the filling of post additional to the establishment instead of the vacant positions reported about. So we want you to clarify those posts. What criteria is being used by the PMTE to fill these posts additional to the establishment? The PMTE reported 118 posts under engineering science related, of which 80 were filled, 38 vacant, and 7 filled additional to the establishment in 2016-17. However, in 2017-2018, there are no posts reported under this position. If you can clarify, what is the position? I will still send the questions in case you didn't get them, because I feel they are also clear. Still further on the vacancies, what influenced the large increase
in the overall vacancy rate by 189 positions in 2017-2018 from 56 vacancies in 2016-2017 to 249 in 2017-2018. Clarify the large increase in the vacancies under electrical and electronic engineering technicians from 3 in 2016-2017 to 107 in 2017-2018. What led to the increased vacancies under mechanical and engineering technicians? Of 13 vacancies in 2017-2018 from 0 in 2016-2017. The last one would be, what is the progress to date on the skills development programs? In 2016-2017, how many of the young professionals, management and artisan trainees have completed the different programs? Clear details there. Clear areas of reporting. What is the progress to date of the 400 officials being trained from 2017 and 2018? We want the progress. What is the cost to date of the training provided in 2017? What is the budget allocated for 2018? So we want value for money. So if you didn't capture them properly, I will still send to your the offices. I'm about to close. I'm just checking if there's any urgent matter on both sides. Politician side, any urgent matter? Okay, is there a person?
Chairperson, the colleague mentioned the criminal activities on our projects, and another colleague also mentioned calling the hawks in to clean up the public works. I think the similar comments were also made last week, and we offered to come here and spend a session with the committee to explain our anti-corruption strategy in detail, including our work with the Hawks, and we emphasize and reiterate that offer, and we look forward to that engagement. Thanks.
Thank you very much. But remember, when you receive an adverse opinion from Auditor General, it tells you cannot report on all the billions you have spent. So we don't even waste time and bring anybody. You must just be honest. Tell us, where is the money gone? You don't spend if you don't know. Somebody spent the money. The money is given to them. They allocate to various departments. They allocate to municipalities. So there should be a report. When the Auditor General wants a report, it must be given. But he says the report is adverse because there is no receipt of anything. Money is just gone. So any promise is a problem when you cannot fix what you have already spent. So please, I think we're doing this thing for the people of South Africa, in particular the poor. It's not about us. But we also said we are equal to the task. Let's prove that when you find, I'm sympathetic to what Honourable Member Adam said, that some of you are new. But in departments, you never knew. You are a successor in law. You get in and then make a change because you understand how public service is expected to work. So that's why you are employed. So I think let's agree that we want a response by Friday, but we have noted that you are proposing that we must find time. We already have detailed plan. We must sit then in the management and see how we can put you again, because we have others to consider as well. So it's a difficult thing, but it's important that we're doing this thing on behalf of the people of South Africa, But we can't be talking forever. We must change on the ground. You see, our work must be reflected by good work on the ground. So whatever we say in boardrooms is not achievement. Meeting us is not an achievement. Achievement is when you change. I've just given an example, Ekwendule Clinic, more than 2 years, it's close to 2 years now. It's top of the range, eh? But it's not open to people. Now you want to talk to us here. Yeah. But you have a property that is nice, is now going to be degenerating. So please fix those things. I've mentioned the Girls Reveal Police Township, nice one with 89 houses. Fix it! Fix it! So tell your principal, Mpo, you are here. You can't pretend you are not here. You are here representing the minister. Fix those. For many years, they are being renovated. You are just giving contractors. Who are these contractors that you so much love? That they must be fixing houses that are not utilized by anybody. Oh, no. Please. Please. Thank you very much. This meeting is now adjourned.
Thank you. Yeah, that was a.
Let me see if you have the list of the people there.
Yeah.
Can I check that?
The delegates. Delegation, yes. Yeah. Let me just get rid of them. Yeah.
Okay.